Who am I? Everyone claims to hate me, but most people can't resist me. I am seen on a daily basis. I am easy to notice in others, but not as easy to notice when used yourself. I break hearts and I ruin lives. I gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more strong I become. I am believed the more I am quoted. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. It's impossible to track me down. I break up relationships and separate friends. I tarnish reputations, ruin marriages, wreak havoc in churches, and topple governments. I destroy careers and cause sleepless nights. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am quickly told, quickly heard, quickly spread, and quickly believed. I am gossip. Have you ever heard the saying, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all? My grandmother used to say this to me, and it was pretty sound advice, but when I was younger, this really confused me. But how would this allow me to express my opinion? I would ask. Is my opinion not valued enough to be spoken? Am I meant to be seen and not heard? Pushing against the idea of being an oppressed woman who has to sit in the corner seen and not heard, I sought to speak up as often as possible and share my opinion with whoever would listen. Of course, it is important for us to speak up when things are wrong and express our opinions, and it is important to share our own hurts and needs with others. These are all important parts of being in a family and belonging to a church. Our Father God wants us to do these things, and he made our words to be powerful. After all, we're made in his image. It was through words that he created us, and through words that Jesus calmed the seas. Yes, words are powerful. For those of you who don't know me, that wasn't a description of me, but rather myself as Jo, and I am part of the preaching team here. We're currently doing a series on living wisely for God. And Proverbs is a book of the Bible that teaches us about how to live wisely for God. Our Father gives us some guidance in this book on the need to show some restraint when it comes to our words and tame the tongue, so to speak, to ensure that our lips are used for love and kindness, especially when it comes to sharing information about others. Because we know that the tongue is a double-edged sword, and it's true that if you can't say anything about others, perhaps you shouldn't say anything at all, anything nice about others, that is. So Proverbs teaches us that a wise person has a tame tongue. 21:23 says that those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. 13:3 reads, those who guard their lips preserve their lives, and those who speak rashly will come to ruin. Nothing is more like a wise man than a fool who holds his tongue, says Francis de Sales. I like that little quote. Before we dig in, I just want to clarify what gossip is and what it isn't. A gossip is defined as a person who routinely shares information about others, or an unnecessary report about someone who isn't there to someone who isn't part of the solution or the problem. That is key. Notably, the sin of gossip, which the Bible talks about in Proverbs, is bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. So gossip can be positive or negative. It can be true or false. An example of it might be Did you hear that Millie is getting married? But Millie didn't want you to share that information. So this would be an example of a positive piece of gossip. Or, I heard Frank is going to leave his wife. Probably not something Frank wants you to spread around. Slander is another term that's used in Proverbs, and in contrast to gossip, this is always a negative and false report about someone in order to intentionally do them harm. The Hebrew word for slander simply means bad report, and it is worse than gossip as it is always done with intent to damage. And although it is false, it is often presented as factual and objective. The main point I want to say here is that ultimately both gossip and slander deal with how we talk about others. How we talk about others. Reverend Billy Graham once said, "Gossip is listed in the Bible as one of the worst of all sins, and yet how frequent is that done in circles that call themselves Christians? It's a terrible sin in the sight of God, and God says that person is a fool." You wouldn't think of killing someone with a gun or a knife, but then many times we assassinate a character to pull someone down or because of jealousy to get even. By whispering innuendos, "somebody told me," or "he did that." And so we commit murder by character assassination. Worse than killing a man with a pistol, a knife, or a club. All the sins of the tongues are deadly. Profanity, insults, lying, negativism, complaints, and criticism are all harmful. But gossip is particularly deadly sin. Gossip has destroyed more people, tarnished more reputations, broken more friendships, and split more churches than any sin I'm aware of. Worst of all, gossip is quickly believed. People will confess to theft, adultery, even murder. But who confesses to gossip? Says Billy. Gossip has become normalised in our society, and this gives its power, and it often goes unnoticed. These days we have social media, which broadcasts people's lives. So a lot of the time we know a lot about people, even if we haven't met them. Think of the royals, for instance. Disappointingly, we in the church aren't much different to the society around us, and gossip is often just as prevalent in the body of Christ as it is in the society in which we live. I've put a few things up here to kind of question that. We may hear things on the church floor such as, "pray for Harry, he's really struggling with dot, dot, dot." Is this gossip or a prayer request? "Poor Sally, she really couldn't help it, dot, dot, dot." I'm not gossiping, just distributing vital information. Watch out. This is what the Proverbs warn us about. The tongue is a powerful flame. It can give warmth, it can give comfort, but it can also destroy. It's interesting that people are so quick to believe the bad things that are said about good people, isn't it? Bad news is just so easily indulged, just like tasty chocolate cake compared to broccoli on my daughter's plate. Which one goes first? The chocolate cake. Now, please just hear what I'm not saying. This isn't an opportunity for us to point fingers, right? We're probably all sitting there saying, "oh yes, I know someone who needs to hear this message." This is actually about self-awareness, right? Wisdom is having self-awareness and thinking about how we need to do this. We need to think about others' private information like a possession. If someone shares information with you, be aware that just because they need counsel and advice, that this doesn't mean they don't need discretion on what you share and what you don't. If it was their car or their house, do you give others permission to use their car or their house? No, it's kind of the same thing. I'm sharing someone else's information, especially if it's someone else's wounds or things that they're ashamed of. We have to be really careful. Ideally, we go and talk to that person directly. I want to just note here that it's okay to do some processing and sometimes seek advice. And if we need to do that, make sure the person you're talking to it can help with the solution or the problem. So that was the key thing I had about that definition earlier. And maybe leave out names and specifics. ask yourself, if this message got back to that person, how would they feel? Socrates puts it this way, ask yourself, is it true? Is it good news? And is it useful? Another way to do this is to think before you speak. This is what think stands for. Is it true, helpful, inspirational, necessary, and kind? The tongue is the only tool that gets sharper with use. It's a great little quote there. The Proverbs also give some insight on how we should discern the trustworthy. Can I trust you or not? It's a quintessential question of life. Should we engage in naive trust? No, we shouldn't be naive to trust people. We need to earn trust. But neither should we not trust in others enough that we don't want to share with them. There's problems in both. Naive trust and thinking that your survival is all up to you and you cannot share information with others. Have you ever lost trust in someone because they shared something you didn't want shared? I remember a time when I shared a secret with my friend, only to find out that she shared it with someone the next day. Credit to her, though, she came clean with me immediately and told me. We'll call her Millie. So Millie came and said, "Hey Jo, I know you told me not to tell anyone, but actually I told Fred. I'm really sorry." Although I was really annoyed with her, I was pleased that she let me know that she had told Fred so that I could attempt to stop the gossip before it spread any further. But it still broke my trust with my friend Millie, and I was more careful about telling her secrets in the future. I'm sure, like me, you can also think back to a time when you shared something you shouldn't have shared with someone else. I've done it too. Proverbs warns us that a person, though, who gossips constantly, routinely, can't be trusted. 11:13 says, a person who gossips betrays our confidence and a trustworthy person keeps a secret. A gossip can't be trusted because they are talking about other people. When they're talking to you about other people, who are they talking about when they talk to others? There's a good chance they're talking about you when they talk to others. If they're betraying others, why would they be trustworthy? We need to ask ourselves these things. So one point here is we shouldn't feed gossip by giving them an audience. Don't give them ammunition about yourself to give to others. We also need to be aware that people who love to gossip are probably people who are trying to avoid talking about their own miseries. It often exposes some insecurities and need for emotional maturity and love. Like the eyes are a window to the soul, the tongue is a reflection of the heart. A gossip who is someone who is crying out for help and needs God in their heart to heal what is broken. This brings me to my first point. A tame tongue treats information about others with respect. In order to be trustworthy people, we should not share information that isn't ours to share. We should only share information with people who are part of the problem or part of the solution. We need to respect God and others. We need to humble ourselves before God. We need to apply this knowledge practically, not just in our minds, but also in our actions, through gaining more understanding. Let's be a community where we live in the light, not in the shadows of whispers, where we don't listen to gossip or slander, where we don't make the person being talked about look bad, but the person talking look bad. A community where we only speak what is true. We only use true words in a good way, which is building up of others. When we paint others in a good light, so that those words, if they got back to the person we were speaking about, they would be glad to hear them. Because a lot of problems would disappear if we were to talk to each other, rather than about each other, right? Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, both sides. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you love the crafting of your words? Do we pay careful, deliberate attention to words and delivery? I do as a preacher. We need to be deliberate with our words. Help us to learn. We need to ask God to help us to learn and change through this message. We need to ask ourselves, are your words empowering? Do they give love and energy, or do they cause damage and bring death? There's two sides, right? Tongue has the power for good and evil. Proverbs has these kind of two characters which exist. There's Lady Wisdom, who speaks about what is true, and it's a metaphor for God himself, and it mirrors Christ's goodness. And then there's Lady Folly, which is this unruly woman who says whatever she wants, and she represents Satan. And it's a really good illustration of this, that we need to be like Lady Wisdom and speak the truth and fill ourselves with truth and wisdom and not be like Lady Folly and say whatever we want. We need to be very discerned when things are on our tongue and use our teeth and our lips. God gave us two guards against our tongue to bite it before something bad comes out. We need to be aware of gossip's temptation and effect. I talked about this a little bit earlier, but 18:8 and 26:22 in Proverbs, both are repetitions of each other. So it's really important. The words of a gossip, it says, are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. A word a gossip speaks are like delicious food. It is tempting. It tastes good. It's really important to understand this, and that's why it's repeated in Proverbs, because we have to be careful that if we do taste it, it affects us on the inside, right? It gets absorbed and digested, and it mixes this truth with lies in our heart, and it makes us difficult on how we might view others. It may affect your reality as a person, as a tainted perspective. We might start to treat people with disdain and suspicion if we take some gossip in about someone, and it may not be correct. We really need to check if the things we are hearing are true. So this brings me to my second observation. A tame tongue learns how to discern temptation and not indulge. See the cake, but don't eat it. Humility is a trait of the wise, and a tame tongue understands that gossip is a sin that tempts everyone. Everyone. We must be humble enough to be open to learning how not to indulge in this sin. In order to live wisely for God, we need to be assertive and learn how to notice and discern gossip before it is on our lips so it doesn't enter our hearts. Our heart desires what you feed it. If you feed your heart truth, love, and wisdom, it will desire truth, love, and wisdom. If you feed your heart lies, hatred, gossip, and slander, this is what it will desire more of. Benjamin Franklin said, "A slip of the foot, you may soon recover, but a slip of the tongue, you may never get over." Proverbs warns us to be aware of the hatred that's hidden behind gossip and slander. 10:18 says, "Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool." This is sometimes misunderstood as meaning we should never conceal hatred. This isn't what it's saying, because it would contradict other scripture, and full disclosure isn't always good in relationships, right? We need to restrain words of hatred that ought not to be there and repent. For example, attend to the rot that produces bitter fruit. What it is saying is that slander sometimes seeks to make itself more effective, by concealing hatred with lying lips so it doesn't look so ugly. We dumb it down. We conceal it by half-truths and disguise the words to look different. This is what makes it really dangerous. An example of this might be saying something like, "Lucy is a really awful driver. She's had 3 accidents this last month alone, but she's a lovely person." Right? We kind of sandwich it in there. And although we're making it look like we're just sharing a little thing, it probably isn't something that Lucy would want to share, us to share about her driving, right? So don't be fooled, this is gossip. Gossip divides and stirs up. It creates chaos in the community. Proverbs 16:28, 26:20, and 29:11 are all examples of this. Gossip stirs up conflict, separates close friends. It talks about without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Fools give full vent to their rage, and the wise bring calm in the end. Are we people who talk calmly, or do we throw our thoughts out in a rage? Have there any restraint on your tongue? These proverbs say that gossip is an attack on unity and peace. That's my point here. It is fuel for the division and strife. It takes something that is closely united and destroys it. We don't need more help to create division. And gossip is a fuel for the fire of division. Gossip essentially blows air on it. It's a flame that comes alight. If you want to be a peacemaker, we can't gossip or use slander with our words. A fool vents all their feelings, but a wise man holds them back and shows restraint. So we need to make sure when we see gossip, or we do gossip ourselves, we call it out. And we have to be careful. Sometimes we move into a conversation and people start to maybe complain. It starts off as a really nice conversation, but then it gets into a complaint, and then it turns into something about someone else, and then it turns into gossip, and it becomes complaining for complaining's sake, and it's not fruitful. Yeah, the process, it should lead somewhere. We need God to help us in this. We know that gossip harms people. Proverbs 10:7. The name of the righteous is used in blessings, but the name of the wicked will rot. Gossip and slander seeks to attack your reputation. You were given your name as a blessing, but as a result of gossip, your name or reputation starts to rot. Now, your reputation isn't you, but it is often how others see you, and it should be based on truth and not on lies. Gossip harms others, and it harms yourself if you do it. 30:10 is a warning that if a person gossips or slanders, it will catch up with you. In this example in 30:10, a slanderer picks out a servant, and as they see them in a vulnerable and weak position and talks about them behind their back, taking advantage of them to harm them, to possibly improve their own situation at an expense of the other person, thinking that that person isn't in a position to do anything about it. They can't get justice. It's a power trip that's fueled by pride. This is where it comes from quite often. Sorry. Proverbs recognises that even though a person may not have any way to get justice, God is ultimately their vindicator. It will come back to the gossiper. We have to answer for this. Even when we feel we may get away with something, God sees and God hears and God knows it, and it will catch up with us. As we consider all these things, we all fall short. We're all confronted with ways that we have talked about others, speaking foolishly, sinfully, destructively, without the honour of God and love of neighbours on our tongue. We need grace towards one another and be quick to forgive as we have been forgiven by others. We need to love the truth. Love truth and wisdom and hate what is false. Speak only what is true. Be humble and recognise that there might be sinful motives that lie deep in our hearts. It's a good indicator of where we're at. If we see these things, we can do something about it. Let's be willing to consider that. Recognise that there might be some element of insecurity there or sinful pride there that we need to give over to God and repent on. It is humble to speak to others directly if we need to talk to them about something. Let us not live in the illusion of sinful pride, but let us speak life-giving words. This brings me to my third point. We need to speak about others with truth and love. A wise person speaks only truth and from a place of love. We overcome hate with love. Speaking with love and truth unites and brings peace rather than dividing and stirring up conflict. And truth and love heals others and yourself. Proverbs 12:18 states, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." We'll just do a quick pulse check is here as well. How do you speak about others? Matthew 15:18 says, "But the words you speak come from the heart. It's what defiles you." Luke 6:45 says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Are you training your heart to believe your mouth? In Proverbs it says, in 21:23, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles." Do our words cast doubt? Are they destructive, promote fear, discouragement, confusion, condemnation, accusation? Satan is the accuser of the breather it talks about in the Bible. When your words are being used as an accusation, this is where it may come from. We need to use our words to have genuine encouragement. Genuine encouragement. Not just, "Oh, nice shirt." We need to say, "Oh, that's a really nice shirt." We need to be genuine with what we say. We need to give people permission. Have gratitude, please and thank you. Don't forget those fundamentals. Give people approval. Our children. Say, "That a boy. Good work. Well done." We need to compliment one another. We need to validate one another. Churches ought to be communities that are different to the world around us. Places where we don't need to worry about how you're being spoken about. Where you shouldn't need to worry about your reputation. We should be able to speak up when things are wrong and express our opinions, but do this with wisdom and say the truth in love. And it is important for us to share our own hurts and needs with others. We should be able to be open and honest and give people the benefit of the doubt. Despite all of this, though, why is it still so difficult to tame my tongue? I will not gossip, I will not gossip, I will not gossip. Listen to this one, Proverbs 16:1. "To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue." James 3:8 says, "No human being can tame the tongue." Oh, that's interesting. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn their whole animal, it says in James. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue, is what James says. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise God the Father, and we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brother and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grape vine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. It's a matter of the heart. the heart of the matter is that it's a matter of the heart. Problems of the heart and tongue cannot be solved by human willpower. It takes the power of the resurrected Christ within us to control the tongue. And that power is available to those who turn their lives over to him. Only by God's Spirit living within our hearts can we hope to gain control over our tongue. He convicts us when we sin with our lips, and that conviction drives us to repent and pray for more filling of the Spirit so that we can avoid further sin. It is only when we humble ourselves before God and yield to him in obedience that our tongues become more tame. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." The state of the heart can be determined by what comes out of the mouth. Fill yourself with God and the gospel, as these places are a source of truth and wisdom. The gospel is trustworthy. It unites and brings peace, and it heals. This brings me to my final point. In order to tame our tongue, we must first guard our heart. Proverbs 23:15-16. "My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad indeed. My inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right." Proverbs 4:23, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." And Luke 6:45, "For out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth speaks." The bottom line is living wisely for God means having a tame tongue that is trustworthy and treats information about others with respect, shows humility through acknowledging that gossip is a sin that tempts all of us, everyone. It expresses unity and peace by speaking about others with truth and love. But we have to remember these things are not possible through willpower alone, because the tongue expresses what is in your heart. Therefore, ultimately, in order to tame our tongues, we must first have God in our hearts and guard our hearts by filling that with truth and wisdom. In order to live wisely for God, we need to fill our hearts with this, to ensure our tongues are tamed to share the gospel and not gossip. A tongue can only be truly tamed through relationship with God, who lives in our hearts and fills it with truth and wisdom. Let us pray. I'll get the team to come up. Thanks, Steve. Dear Lord, in Psalm 141, verse 3, it says, "Set a guard over my mouth, and keep a watch over the door of my lips." Lord, we just pray this is true for us today. And we humble ourselves before you, Lord, and acknowledge that it is with you in our hearts that we can seek to tame our tongues. Help us to treat information about others with respect. Repent when we have been tempted, and grow assertive in our discernment of what is of you and what is not. Help us to see the places of the heart, of our heart, that need to be surrendered to you, Lord, so that we can ensure that we always speak with truth and love about others. And guard our hearts, Lord, so that Satan may not enter, and so we can always have your words on our lips. In Jesus' name, amen.